welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Turn the Page. I'm your host today, Jen, and I'm joined by a writer who I am so excited to talk to. I have been reading this book incessantly this week. I was up far, far too late last night reading it. So let's get into it. Hello, welcome to the show. Could I ask you to introduce yourself and your book, please?
All right. Hello. So my name is Sam Kyung Yu. I am a science fiction and fantasy with, I'm told, occasionally aspects of horror writer, and also a part-time Taekwondo instructor as well.
Yeah, I would love if you could start off by telling us a little bit about your journey as a writer. How did you start out? And I'm very interested in the Taekwondo side career, too. And how does that shape your writing practice at all?
So the way I started, obviously, is it's a stereotypical just reading all of the time, having that dream of being a writer, being told that's not going to be realistic, but being an English creative writing major in college anyways. But I think, actually, like you said, or as mentioned, doing Taekwondo as sort of the primary income initially actually is very helpful, because I would say that doing that on like just a regular basis for work gives me a lot of extra like creative energy, essentially, because it's basically just professionally I'm doing something completely different, and then when I compartmentalize and go home, I actually still have my brain left for working on writing or doing research or even just reading other things. And I kind of figure that if I was doing, say, my alternative option, which was English professor, that I wouldn't maybe have as much reading energy left outside of my professional life. But yeah, I think I would also say that just specifically going into speculative fiction was a bit more shaped by like hobbies of me being just very interested in researching East Asian folklore and other things like that as well. So it's kind of been a very odd hodgepodge of interests that have coalesced into a writing career of sorts.
Ooh, that's really interesting. And I do think, yeah, you're onto something with having a career that is sort of, you know, in some ways the opposite of writing and giving you that time to sort of let stuff, you know, foment in the background while you do something else. Could you talk a little bit now about this book, Small Gods of Calamity? I am having so much fun with it, and I am really in love with the, you know, the main characters that you have given us. They're so deeply characterized, and like their dynamic is so interesting. So yeah, could you tell us a little bit about this book and its protagonist, please?
Right. So initially this story was actually supposed to be a short story submission to the Occult Detective magazine. Just because that sort of subgenre, I very much have enjoyed detective fiction and just paranormal detective fiction specifically. And so I really like the idea of making a character like that, but it kind of blew up, obviously. And it was, the short story word limit was like 7,000 words. And I blew right past that. I'm like, well, it's going to be a book. I'm too invested. But a huge part of it, I think, was just, I was also researching a lot of Korean folklore around that same time. And so like mudang, or like Korean shamanism, things like that, I got really focused on that as a backstory and sort of a like a family history. And I liked seeing that slant, because there's this very classic tragic backstory riddled detective protagonist that I've seen a lot, and in like graphic novels even, or television series. I think there was one person who read my book and compared it to John Constantine from the Hellblazer comics, which is like, it's a completely different type of occult and everything like that, but I can definitely see it, because it's that type of angsty but also sarcastic character a little bit. But I think I wanted to have a almost like softer approach because processing grief or trauma in maybe a, like a slightly more aware, mindful way with like acknowledging that there are practices from therapy that can help, or having a more empathetic or like self-reflective approach to it, I think is what I wanted to see in a protagonist like that. With still also the I'll keep all my feelings right here and then one day I'll just die kind of a vibe. But I think it was nice to explore a couple more emotional vulnerability moments between characters.
In particular, to speak of the genre sort of influences and references people have brought up first, I John Constantine is very apt, but I think in general too, just sort of that like 90s supernatural noir that was sort of popping up in places like because I also got like Mulder vibes on you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you
And
so
oh,
much.
you're so welcome. Yeah, I mean that as like the highest compliment
Right.
possible. And also, yeah, and just like that sort of serial approach to not serial, procedural is what I mean, approach to the supernatural, which is something that I love as a tone. But to also your point about characters who are experiencing either mental illness or trauma, and incorporating the ways in which they try to deal with that in their lives is like adds a really nice sort of emotional element to that procedure. That brings me to a question about, the slim nature of this volume, and I'm very interested to hear it started as a short story because you do so much like really good, like detailed character work and also like fascinating, very vivid world building. And the plot is like very well paced. And I'm like really interested in how you feel like you achieve that kind of narrative efficiency because it's so efficiently done and you just do so much with a very limited space.
I think I am, like the people who do overwriting or underwriting. I am very much a classic like underwriter. And so even when I did my like the book version of this story and I'd finished the draft, I think there were still a lot of aspects of it that I knew in my head to a degree, but I didn't really explain them that much because in my experience as a reader, I think going the opposite end of the spectrum where you have the like high fantasy writers or also like classic science fiction where there's a lot of very dense world building descriptions, and I found that very overwhelming as a reader. And so I don't really tend to do that myself, but then I don't explain it nearly well enough. And so getting that balance of just adding just enough so that it gets everything that the reader actually wants to see, hopefully, was something that I worked with my editor on. Actually, she was just like, can you just elaborate on this part as well? And it was actually very funny. Like the plot of this story, I basically achieved it in I want to say like 25,000 words ish. And that was with a lot less world building or as much character background explanation. And so the plot by itself fit really efficiently into that. And then I worked it again and made it like twice as long. But the plot was the same. I just explained more and showed more from the past as well. But I think it's kind of nice because I wanted to keep the pacing pretty quick because I agree with you. It does have it carries the same energy of me watching TV shows that I really enjoy, and I wanted to have that in a reading experience as well. But kind of going from the underwriter side and then just kind of adding in wherever it makes sense just a little bit more. It kind of it's like it's more like a brain association thing of like this just pops up and it becomes relevant in this moment. I also admit that for the world building, aside from the East Asian folklore research that I did, I also just really like I was one of those kids raised on Animal Planet and the Discovery Channel. So if you notice, there are a lot of references to nature documentaries in the story as well. That's part of it. And kind of giving that dimension to the supernatural, where you have like almost, well, I for the worm spirit aspect of it, I actually was inspired by the like the hair worm, parasitoid, and a couple other things very similar to that. And I think that also helps because you just have writing process wise, it was me working on that, and then also just nature documentaries of parasites in the background.
That's great. That's a great environment for creating the vibes that you have that you've created here. It's really great. I'm so in love with the magic system and how magic sort of expresses itself in this world. It's so like it engages with all the senses in a way that I really enjoy because it's about what you see, but also what you smell and taste sometimes, you know, and it really engages like everything that you sort of like sense the world with. And I'm curious about like some of the sort of you know ghosty world building, like in terms of communicating through smoke, as you see, did those elements come from your research into the folklore, or were there places where you embellished and sort of made up things as well? Like, what went into crafting that system?
So for the like the incense smoke or like the origami butterflies or things like that, that's all made up. And or the so the talismans that Hangyo's making, like the kumihimo, like braided quartz, all of that was something that I just the craft of it is there obviously, but I think there are definitely different spiritualists who have practices that maybe overlap with things like incense or interpreting different things, because I mean, that's just something that in fortune telling people use often. But in terms of when I was going into explanations like that, it was mostly me taking creative license to a degree. The background of it, like the fortune telling popularity in South Korea, like the Saju and astrology, things like that, that's sort of in the backdrop of it that is based on research. But the actual scenes were more creative, I think.
Nice.
I don't know if you were sensory wise, if you're talking about how like spirit sense works in the book, is that what you
Yes.
meant? That was me trying to just because I like writing in close third person point of view, and so a lot of it is me going, it's me trying to figure out how to be in the body of the character, and mostly it's just very hard to imagine what a like what the sensory experience of something that you've never experienced would be. Just like trying to explain any very unique experience to you to somebody else, it's very hard. And so I thought, why wouldn't it just be mapped onto the pre-existing physical senses, but just in a really weird way? And so I ended up accidentally stumbling into like a synesthesia adjacent paranormal perception. But
I really love that sort of like, yeah, the synesthesia. I was trying to make it into an adjective, synesthetic, but the synesthesia elements that you use. I guess like when you were crafting everybody's unique way of sensing magic, you know, that the way that it has a lot to do with smells for some people or tastes that appear for them or hearing music, were the ways that you configured those ways of sensing, were they linked to character?
I think with Hangyo, I wanted it to be a hodgepodge because I sort of imagined his experience to just be a little chaotic. And I kind of wanted to see how the, because obviously having the paranormal sense does help for detective work to a degree, but then there's also just, there's a lot of clashing information and it, what I'd actually like to explore more with the character is to see how like things in the material world can actually interfere a little bit with spirit sense as well. But starting with, because for him it's multiple different things. Like it's obviously I think a huge prevalent one is smell, but there's also the sounds as well and also tastes because smell and taste are so strongly connected anyways. And then when I wanted to do that shift and going from a different perspective character who just has a completely different experience of this world, going the more like somatic or no, tactile side of it just seems like a better just from a completely different direction experience of it. And I realized that it is actually a bit more indicative of personality as well, though, to have someone who, because for Yuna, he's a very quiet but also extremely sensitive person. So I realized that that actually does connect pretty well to his personality and sort of the almost slightly touch-starved childhood that he had. So that's actually a very good observation for you to point at me. I feel seen a little bit.
Yeah, and I really love like the way that magic is perceived so uniquely creates like really interesting character dynamics in terms of communication, because in a lot of ways their experiences overlap a lot, but because they're so differently perceived, they have trouble like communicating that to each other. Not to mention like this sort of like the whole past experience of loss and trauma that is sort of coming to bear on them in the present too. Yeah, it's just like it's such a really fun, flexible system that lets you like say so much about the world and about the characters too.
Yeah. No, I definitely just not that I wanted it to be really clear in the story. It's like I value communication so much, and I think a lot of characters should, but acknowledging like it's just hard, like in on all levels. Talking about the emotions is one difficult thing, but just being able to explain what you're seeing and what you need to when you're checking in with someone else also, I wanted to have both.
Yeah, that's handled so beautifully. And I think it speaks to another thing it does beautifully, which is sort of my last question area, which is that this book deals with a lot of various ways in which like these characters are living on like various borders, either between the living and the dead, or national borders, in the case of people who were raised, you know, outside of the country in which they currently live, or between cultures, you know, and like how that sort of can either bring people together or keep them apart, you know, like that could be a simultaneously isolating, but also connective experience. Yeah. So could you talk about writing Han Gil and like a character who is just living on so many edges, so many liminal borders?
Yeah. I think another focus of mine for characters is definitely having varying degrees of loneliness to them. Just in terms of it being it's definitely nice to have that type of protagonist and then being able to give them a feeling of connection from other characters, and that's just a creative goal. But I did think it would be a very interesting dynamic for him to, in his professional life, he's kind of on the outside of that because he is halfway occupying the supernatural world as well, and so it does make him misunderstood often, and I think that's just a relatable life experience just overall. But then not him not actually being able to be completely connected to the spiritualist community either, because again, subjective experience and not being believed by people. But the only thing that's actually coming to mind right now is when I was in elementary school, I remember I guess it's a fable. It's the story of the bat. And the bat that would go to the birds and say, like, I'm like you. And then also would go to all the other animals and say, I'm like you. And then both sides are like, well, you can't be like both of us. You have to pick one. And then the bat was just kind of ostracized by all sides. And I remember even as a kid going, what is the lesson? What is the lesson of this story? What do you mean you have to pick one? And that tied in a little bit in my head with one, just as a life experience. I think that's crazy because everyone is so many things. all the time, and it's just you can't just kind of put all your chips into one thing, no matter what it is, if you know, be it your work or your culture or anything. But it's also just very funny to me because like Hangil is very casually, he's also bi, and I think that's also a common experience you hear, being bi and being like, nope, you gotta pick, you're either
Yeah.
straight or gay. Like, this is a false dichotomy. This is bad.
It's really interesting in a way because he is lonely, but he's also it's a very lived in and sort of like comfortable loneliness by the time that we meet him. And like to your earlier point, he has so many ways of like accommodating his own loneliness and his own like emotional struggles and stuff like that. It's just like he's a such an interesting point of view character among others, in order, you know, to explore this story in this society. And I really do hope we get to see more of it. Is that something that you have hopes for as well?
Yes, absolutely. I was describing this first book even when I was working on it. It's like a pilot episode to a TV show, essentially. And even when I was kind of trying to flesh this out, I definitely had other sort of larger story plot ideas that I've wanted to do in the future. I just wasn't really sure if I'd get the chance because part of it not wanting to get your hopes up, and the other is like even just I'd never actually tried to write a series of things before. But my sister has been reading the NetGalley reviews and other reviews for me because I am very scared of reading those. I don't want to. I think also it's just that's not it's not necessarily the author's place to read the reviews, but I think my sister wanted to make it super clear to me. It's like a lot of people that review this book are saying, where is the rest of it, essentially? And which is obviously like part of it is just the struggle of a novella. I think it's always a little bit shorter, I think, than the reader would like. But also it's just very encouraging that the world is interesting enough and the characters are not going to overstay their welcome if I decide I want to say hopefully write at least like two more, because I have the second book that I'm working on right now, and there was sort of a finale third book that I was hoping I could also do, and I really want to make it happen. So there are definitely more character things I'd like to have explored.
It's an extremely effective pilot. And, you know, when we put this episode out there, I'll try to get it trending with, you know, six seasons and a movie, you know. So, you know,
Yeah.
yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. I really
Yeah.
love this conversation and the book. And, you know, I hope that, you know, when you get that second volume, you'll come back to talk to us again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. All right, listeners, it's now your turn. You're going to check out Small Gods of Calamity. By the time that you hear this, it will be out in the world. So head to your favorite library or independent bookstore, wherever you like to go for books. Thank you so much for joining us. It is now time to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.